This is Central Time. We've known for years that playing professional football has a risk when it comes to brain injuries, but doctors and scientists are starting to uncover how strong that connection could be. A group of researchers from Boston University released an updated study that looked at the brains of 376 deceased former NFL players. They found that just over 91% of them had chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the brain disease known as CTE. Now, that number may not be representative of all NFL players. The researchers themselves say there might be a bias in the available sample there. CTE is a disease that so far can only be fully confirmed after death, but each additional study that comes out raises questions and concerns about the safety of football and other collision sports at all levels. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about concussion, long-term collision risk, and CTE when it comes to sports at any levels? Has it affected your decision about what to let your kid play, what to play yourself? Does it affect whether you enjoy a particular sport these days? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Julie Stamm is a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison. She's the author of the book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and the Future. Julie, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I want to start with this study from a Boston University of the brains of former NFL players. Now, again, not a representative sample, but can you talk about this report, what we learned, how significant it is?
Yeah, this is a very significant report. A couple of years ago, they came out with a study that showed 110 out of 111 former NFL players that they studied had CTE. And now we have 345, so 92% of the sample they studied with CTE. This isn't representative, as you said. Most people don't think to donate their brain or their loved one's brain to someplace like this brain bank unless they think that they might have the disease. So it's not really representative. If former players are doing really well, they're less likely to think to donate. So it's more likely that we're going to see CTE in this particular sample. But even if you took all of the former NFL players who passed away, you know, based on that first study, if you took all that passed away in the same time period, the prevalence was still around 10%, which is pretty high for a disease like this.
And talk about CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, this disease, what is it?
CTE is a brain disease that is caused, in part at least, by repetitive brain trauma. It's been diagnosed in athletes exposed to trauma, such as football players, hockey players, rugby players, soccer players. You know, it's also been diagnosed in military veterans, for example. The brain really doesn't know what hits it. But this repetitive trauma, and not just concussions, this is repetitive impacts over time, can cause this disease to develop in the brain, and it's progressive and over time. Usually with symptoms beginning in about the 40s, 50s, or 60s, we'll start to see things like memory difficulties, behavioral difficulties, difficulties with depression or other mood issues, things like that developing.
Can you talk a little bit about that diagnosis? As I understand it, we only fully know that someone had CTE with a posthumous look at their brain. Can doctors make confident diagnoses based on some of those symptoms you were just talking about while a person's still alive?
Unfortunately, we can't right now. It is a disease that has to be diagnosed postmortem or after someone passes away with examination of their brain. Right now, there's a lot of research going into diagnosis, though. There's a lot of promise with a type of brain imaging called PET scans, where you inject a radioactive ligand that binds to the protein involved in CTE. This is a protein that we call tau. And if there's this protein in the brain, that ligand would light up on imaging, so we'd be able to see it. And that will really be the gold standard. But right now, many of these symptoms are found in other diseases too. So it's not something that we can definitively say you have this disease. And some people who have been exposed to contact may have Alzheimer's disease or other forms of dementia or neurodegenerative diseases. So we just can't know for sure right now, unfortunately.
Now, this is a serious concern for people who make it to that pro level in football or other contact sports. It's a small group. But there's a large group of people who play contact sports like the footballs and hockeys and soccers and the list, boxing, of course, the list goes on and on. What kind of concerns do you have about youth sports when it comes to long-term risks like this?
Yeah, it really is a concern at any level, but we don't know how much of a concern. What we do know is more trauma seems to be associated with greater risk. So studies have shown that people who played 15 years or more of football, for example, they were 10 times more likely to develop CTE. And those who played 4 years or less were 10 times less likely to develop the disease. So the overall, you know, number of impacts over a lifetime matters, or it seems to, for this disease. So if someone just plays youth football or just plays in high school, the risk is probably pretty low, but we just don't know. And there have been, you know, diagnoses of CTE in 17, 18, 19-year-olds. So it can happen, but we have a lot to learn about whether or not that disease would progress. And, you know, the less contact, lower levels, the risk does seem to be lower than, you know, these higher levels of play.
Talking to UW-Madison kinesiology professor Julie Stamm about the risks of brain injuries in sports and research on CTE when it comes to long-term contact in sports. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Not too much time left, but I'd love to hear from the coaches, parents, current and former athletes out there. Has your sport changed at some level, maybe especially the youth level, when it comes to allowing full contact, tackling in football, heading in soccer, and so on? Have you changed your sport because of concerns about this, or kept your kid out of a particular sport because of your worry about long-term impacts of head injuries? You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up the conversation with Julie Stamm. She's a kinesiology professor at UW-Madison who studies brain trauma in youth sports. She's with us today looking at high rates of CTE in former NFL players and how we should consider the risks of brain injuries in sports. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a sports-related question, concern, experience to share, that's 800-642-1234. Julie, I've talked to you before when your book came out about, you know, how we deal with this at the youth level. What kind of changes are you seeing in sports when it comes to, you know, especially at vulnerable ages, preventing this kind of contact?
There have been several changes that have been made across different sports. And we're really concerned about the youth level because we're concerned about brain development as well. So it's not just the long-term consequences of CTE, but we want to give the brain time to fully develop, and that youth football time is a critical period of development. We've seen changes such as a delay in the start of checking in hockey. So hockey delayed the start of checking to age 13, both in the United States and Canada. Soccer has delayed the start of heading to age 11 and limited that to 13. In football, we have seen some legislation proposed in different states to delay the start of tackling until either age 12 or sometimes high school. But those haven't gone through yet. What we've seen in football have been changes such as cutting down contact time in practice and really an emphasis on technique, which sometimes might be great, but also, you know, they're kids. And if, you know, a college athlete or a pro doesn't always use great technique, we also can't expect a kid to. Even though technique is important, we should be teaching that. We haven't gone quite so far in football as to just delaying the start of the tackle.
Let's bring on a caller now. Deborah is with us in Hixton. Deborah, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to call in and tell you that I regret letting all three of my sons play tackle football. My son started playing at 11 years old and played through high school, and he ended up killing himself at the age of 25, and I had no idea why he was depressed and paranoid and in a horrible state of downfall with depression. And after he killed himself, my oldest son asked me to send his brain in, and we sent it in. And a year later, we got the diagnosis. He had a stage 2 to stage 3 CTE in his brain, and he never played past high school. He was playing both sides of the ball. He played youth football. He was a star athlete, and we can never get him back. It has almost destroyed our family, and it's been 11 years since he died, and I would never let my kids play tackle football if I had to do it over again.
Deborah, I am so sorry for that, but thank you for being willing to share that story with us. I do appreciate it. Julie, I mean, that's what we're worried about, right? Is there research to make sure that stories like Deborah's son aren't common for someone just playing through the high school level?
Yeah, that is just heartbreaking. And it is really the thing that we're most scared of. The research is really limited right now because of the fact that we can only diagnose during life. So we don't have a way of really knowing how prevalent it is at, you know, any level and what level, you know, different individuals play up to high school, college, or further. We don't know how to treat it because we don't know who to treat because we can't diagnose it during life. And so we also don't know if it would progress in someone, you know, who maybe just had the very beginnings of it and then stopped playing. There's so much we have yet to learn about this disease, and that is kind of scary, you know. So we're making choices with limited information right now, and that's very, very difficult.
Deborah, thanks again for sharing that, and sorry for that tragedy in your family. Julie, what are you watching for next when it comes to our understanding of CTE and other brain-related injuries in sports?
With CTE diagnosis, that's the biggest thing. We need to be able to diagnose this disease during life so that we can learn more about how common it is, how to treat it, so that we can follow it. You know, when we do see that show up in the brain, we can follow and understand how it progresses and if we can intervene. And with youth sports in particular, that understanding of how participation in youth sports and repetitive brain trauma can influence brain development, I think that's something that's been very understudied so far. And, you know, we may not see differences until later in life, but, you know, that's something that we really need to understand. Also, you know, repetitive brain trauma affects the brain whether CTE is happening or not. So, you know, the pathways in the brain can be affected by this repetitive brain trauma, and that can lead to symptoms too, like depression or other mental health difficulties. And that's something we're just really starting to look into more and understand more. So there's a lot we have to learn. We've come a long way, but there's still quite a bit to learn.
Julie, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Julie Stamm is a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison. She's the author of the book, The Brain on Youth Sports, The Science, The Myths, and the Future. She's with us today to talk about head injury risks of sports after a recent study found a lot of CTE among a group of former NFL players. By the way, since it came up, the Suicide Prevention and Crisis Hotline number is 988. As we've talked about on the show before, you can call and or text with that hotline.